Welcome to the Concordia Publishing House podcast, where we consider everything in the light of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm your host, Elizabeth Pittman. When we've been wronged, it can seem impossible to forgive. We may try to ignore the pain, ignore the person who wronged us, or we may find that we are stuck in the past, reliving the wrong and sinking into bitterness. Our guest today will share the radically different approach to forgiveness that Jesus provides. Ted Kober and Mark Rockenbach will join us to explore forgiveness as the Bible defines it, as a gift from God. Before we start our conversation with Ted and Mark, I'd like to thank our friends at the LCMS Foundation for their support of the CPH podcast. Imagine a future where your God-given gifts continue to benefit your family and faith after you've been called home to heaven. The LCMS Foundation can help you create a gift plan so that your assets, things like your retirement accounts, home, or land, will leave a lasting impact on the people you love and on the ministries you care about most. Learn more about creating your gift plan at lcmsfoundation.org/podcast. Now on to our conversation with Ted Kober and Mark Rockenbach. Ted and Mark, thanks for being with us today.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
How does it feel to have worked together on this new book, Unforgivable, and to have it be just released to really good reactions from what I'm hearing so far?
Well, I asked Mark to co-author this book with me for a couple of reasons. Number one, I have a great deal of respect for him and his experience. But when he wrote his dissertation for his PhD in counseling, I found that his findings matched what my experience were in 30 years of reconciliation ministry. So I said to him, I said, I'm either going to quote your dissertation extensively or I'm just going to make you a co-author. And I'm really glad I did, because not only does he use his dissertation, but Mark brings insights that I didn't have that I think make it a much better book.
So Mark, you really had no choice.
That's right. Well, Ted and I have been talking about this a long time, and seminary graciously gave me a sabbatical. And so I contacted him. I said, well, why don't we do something? You know, we could work on this project. And we did. And it was such a joy, because when you're working with someone else, you're constantly in conversation about it. You're encouraging each other. You're saying, hey, what about this? Ideas come up we hadn't thought about before. So it really was a joy working together. You know, you work with someone else, it really sharpen each other, you know, and then the final project, I think, ends up being much better that way too.
So the book is Unforgivable, How God's Forgiveness Transforms Our Lives. And I think this is a topic that it resonates with many, many people, because we've all run into situations where we feel either that we can't forgive someone else or that we might be unforgivable. Tell us why the topic of unforgiveness is so important to address.
So at different times in our lives, almost everybody struggles with unforgiveness. Either they're struggling to forgive someone or just refuse to forgive, or they're looking for forgiveness from someone. And so the topic touches almost everyone. And very often, people try to approach it from a human point of view. And we wanted to approach this topic from, what difference does it make what God has done for us through Christ in forgiveness, and how can that help us in our journey of coming out of unforgiveness?
As you approach the book, how do you define forgiveness, unforgiveness? Mark, well, I'll let you field this one.
Well, I think a good way to talk about unforgiveness is you first have to talk about what forgiveness is. And forgiveness is a gift of God given to us through his son, Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of gift talk within scripture itself. You know, Romans talks about how this is a gift. You know, it says, but the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is, of course, what he's done through his son, Jesus Christ. So forgiveness is this gift that has been given to us, and we have this gift, but sometimes it's difficult to be able to share that gift with other people who have sinned against us. We're angry, we're bitter, We want revenge. We want to get back at them. We think justice should be served. There's lots of reasons why it makes it difficult to forgive. But the key to forgiving really is knowing how forgiven you are in Christ. And when you know how forgiven you are in Christ and what Christ has done for you and the gift he has given to you, then that makes it easier to be able to share that gift with other people. So forgiveness is when you're giving that gift of Christ to other people. Unforgiveness is when you withhold that gift that has been given and you refuse to forgive someone in the name of Christ for whatever reason. It definitely is a struggle, but it's not impossible to get there. And that's what we're hoping to help people with, is that process to get to that point where you could be able to forgive.
So how do you set up that process? So as readers are going through the book, you're going to walk them through that. What does that look like?
So what we did is we designed the book so that every chapter is a question that we focus on, because people that are struggling with unforgiveness might have different aspects that they struggle with. So we've listed the questions that Mark and I, in our experience, 60 years combined experience, have seen people ask when they're struggling in this particular area. So we take one of those questions and then we develop it throughout that particular chapter. At the end of every chapter then, after we've talked about it, are a series of application questions. And we encourage people to go through these questions and write out their answers to them relative to what they just read in the chapter. And our hope is that by doing that, they will actually work through some of the struggles that they have had in dealing with unforgiveness.
So let's take, the questions are fantastic, because I think most of us have probably wrestled with these at some point or another. I'm just going to pick one here randomly, I guess. We'll see. Why not just forgive and forget? Tell us a little bit about that question. If somebody says, you know, why can't I just forgive and forget?
You know, that's a popular cultural saying. You'll hear people say, you know, you just got to forgive and forget it. And that's how you move forward. But the reality is you never really forget things. Even psychologically, we remember all the things that go on, and probably the things that were most devastating to us are the things we remember the most about, right? So to forget it really isn't, it's not, you can't do that. And I think that person puts an extra burden upon people to say, hey, you got to forget this. So the focus is not on forgetting, the focus is on forgiving. And so you have to work through the process of being able to forgive the other person. And once you get to that time where you can forgive them, well, now when you remember the event, you're going to remember it, but you're going to remember it as something that has been forgiven and been forgiven because of Jesus Christ. So you remember it differently. And that's probably a better way to think about it, is you remember that incident as something that's been forgiven by Christ, rather than that incident as something, someone did something bad to you and you're angry and bitter about it. So you remember it, but you remember it differently. So it's just not helpful, because then I've worked with people, they spend tons of time trying to forget it. And they think that once they forget it, then they have forgiven, which is not theologically true. So focus more on the forgiving. And then when you remember it as something that has been forgiven because of Christ.
It's definitely a more productive way of looking at it, because it could be really easy if you haven't intentionally thought through, if you haven't intentionally remembered that that was forgiven, it would be so easy to be drawn right back to the feelings of the initial hurt. So,
right. And many people are. They're drawn back to that hurt, and then they have to stop and think about that again, and maybe help with a pastor or spiritual caregiver to remind them that it has been forgiven. So those feelings do come up again. It's not like they disappear. But when you remember it as something that's been forgiven, you come back to that again and say, yeah, I have forgiven that person for that. And because of that, then that helps to settle down some of those negative emotions that might pop up.
in many cases, an action that could lead to someone needing forgiveness will result in consequences. Talk to us a little bit about why forgiveness does not necessarily remove those consequences.
So there's one consequence that is always removed with God's forgiveness, and that's eternal separation from God. In other words, hell. Our damnation has been paid for by Jesus Christ, so that consequence is taken away. So when you look at all the possible consequences, the most serious one of all is removed through forgiveness. But there may be earthly consequences, and there's examples in Scripture where that occurs. So for example, when Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to it as God commanded, it did produce the water, but Moses suffered earthly consequences. He was not allowed to go into the promised land with the people he had led for 40 years because he disobeyed God in such a significant way. And yet, Moses entered the heavenly promised land, and we know that, one reason, because of transfiguration, when he appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. So you see the eternal consequence taken away, but not the earthly. Another example is King David, when he had an affair with Bathsheba, tried to cover it up, even had arranged to have her husband killed in battle, and the prophet declares to him, your sin has been taken away. You will not die. So once again, he is forgiven by God. He goes to heaven, but there were earthly consequences. The child born to him and Bathsheba died. There was much bloodshed in his family, and he had a lot of suffering as a result of the consequence of his sin. So there's an example of both the eternal consequence taken away and yet earthly consequences. The question comes then, if you're the person that is going to determine whether a person suffers consequences, you need to have godly reasons for them so that it doesn't become retribution, but rather it is justice that serves both the offender and people around us that are affected. So in the book, we talk about godly reasons for consequences and what those can look like.
Could you share an example with us of a situation where someone has overcome unforgiveness in their life experience and what that looked like?
Well, I could share one of my research participants. We'll call her Joyce in the book. Her and her family farmed this land, and they farmed it with family. Well, certain family members died, and the land was, they always thought that they were going to inherit the land and be able to continue farming it. And at the end of the day, they did not get to inherit the land. Some things happened behind the scenes. And so they lost the land, lost the ability to farm it. And so she was really upset about this. Her children didn't have the opportunity to be able to be on this land. And, you know, especially in the agricultural world, land is huge. I mean, it becomes kind of a part of your family, your heritage. And so to lose that was a really big deal for her and her family. And she told me one day she was sitting outside and she had a fire pit there. And she was just stewing over everything that had happened and all the things that had taken place that was not right. And she went into her house. She gathered everything that these family members who had wronged her, gathered everything they'd ever given to her, like for gifts, birthdays, anniversaries, or whatever. She took it all out to the fire pit and just threw it in the fire pit and burned everything. And when she was expressing that, you know, I could see, you know, as she was telling it again, how it was a huge thing for her and her family. And she looked around trying to figure out how to forgive. She wanted to forgive. It was eating her up. She was having all kinds of difficulties. She was drinking more than she should have, finding other ways to kind of deal with the situation. But it wasn't until she got to the point of realizing how forgiven she was in Christ that she said, "Who am I to keep having this bitterness and anger towards them? What good is that? What is that getting me? It's not getting me a thing, and it's not helping them at all, you know." And so eventually she got to the point where she realized that she was forgiven for her sins and forgiven for things she did and said. And so she should forgive. She should also forgive them. It wasn't easy for her to do, but with the help of people around her who supported her, encouraged her, pastor, she was able to come to that point to be able to do that. And, you know, there's a biblical example of this too. You know, you think of Joseph and his, you know, his brother sold him into slavery, and then he ended up in prison because of the accusations of Potiphar's wife. And eventually the brothers show up, and you would think that, you know, he would take revenge upon his brothers, you know, for this huge thing that they did against him. And yet he shows mercy on them. He shows grace upon them. And he does so in a way that he forgives them. And so there's two examples there. So one from my research and a biblical example of where great wrong was done, but understanding their own forgiveness in Christ gave them the ability then to be able to speak that forgiveness to other people so that they could be reconciled with one another. Because that also is hopefully one of the goals that can happen, is that you can have reconciliation between you and God, and in reconciliation between those people who you sinned against or they've sinned against you.
What happens when we don't forgive? You described a little bit about how Joyce, in her scenario, was struggling before she reached the point of being able to forgive. What happens to someone who has dug their heels in and are saying, nope, no way, not going to do it?
This is one of the most dangerous things that happens with unforgiveness. If you are in a place that you can't forgive or you refuse to forgive someone, you tend to relive the offense over and over again. You create a loop where that goes on and on. And in that loop, you sometimes embellish it in your mind without realizing it. And some things take place in your mind that didn't actually happen. But what happens is you put yourself in a prison. You put yourself in a prison of anger and bitterness, and you just can't get over it. And if you remain there in an unforgiving state, you can even forfeit your faith. And that's the most dangerous part about it. And I've seen people that have lived years, even decades, in bitterness and unforgiveness. And it makes them a very angry person, very lonely, because they isolate themselves or they alienate friends and family. And in the end, they even lose their faith in Christ because they are so bitter and angry. And while it may be hurtful to the person that caused the offense, and most times they're not hurt near as badly as the person that is holding that all in and just hurting themselves. And then, of course, when you have that bitterness and that anger that is stewing there and building up, it has physical effects on your body as well. So it affects other relationships. It affects your own health. It affects your spiritual relationship to your Heavenly Father. It affects all of those things. So it's a very dangerous place to remain in unforgiveness. And that was one of the things that motivated Mark and me to write this book, is that when people are stuck there, they suffer terribly. And our hope is to help lead them in a way where they look back to the cross of Christ, find healing and forgiveness in Christ, and then can do what no one can do on their own, that is to forgive as God through Christ has forgiven them.
What can we do if we have a friend, a relative, someone in our lives who is stuck in that place of unforgiveness? What would you recommend that we do to come alongside them and maybe help lead them down this path?
Well, just being there and being present is very important. And listening. Listen to them, listen to the story, but be careful not to participate in the gossip and slander that sometimes happens when people get together and talk about particular situations, because you don't want to be sinning in the midst of that. So you listen with an open ear, but with the hope to be able, of course, to help them with whatever they're struggling with. And part of that is just trying to figure out what aspect of unforgiveness are they stuck on. And this goes back to what we talked about with the various questions that are in the book. There may be different things that people are wrestling with, and it may not be the same thing for everyone. So if you kind of get a sense of what it is they're stuck on, that can also be helpful so you can direct them in a better direction. But probably the biggest thing is once they've told their story and they're telling about how difficult it is and what's going on, I think one of the most caring things you can do with them is to say this. Say, how may I pray for you today? One of the chapters, we actually talk about prayer, and we sometimes ignore prayer. We don't always think about it, or we don't always pray with people concerning things. But even if you could just say, how may I pray for you today? Let the other person tell you what they're struggling with. And rather than trying to give them a magical solution in the moment, just bring that before the Lord in prayer, lay it at his feet and say, this is what we're struggling with. This is what we need help with. Provide for us guidance and the like. So even just being with that person in prayer will show great amount of care and support as you put that before the Lord. And then eventually you can use aspects of the book to be able to answer some of those specific questions that are there, reach out to pastors and other people can help you. But just take your time, listen, pray, and then the book itself can be a resource to maybe address some of those specific questions that they may have about unforgiveness.
It's a very practical book, and I think it will be very useful for pastors, counselors, and other individuals. How do you imagine the book being used, say, in a congregational setting or by a counselor working with people?
So we designed the book for two main audiences. One is for those individuals that are struggling with unforgiveness and want some help to guide them through it. But the other is for pastors, counselors, and other spiritual advisors who are guiding someone through the book. So as Mark said, what they can do is they can go to the chapter where the person is struggling most, that question, and then at the end of that chapter, assign those questions for them to answer relative to their particular situation and to write them out. And so it can be very helpful in that way. But the other thing we did is we asked Dr. Ken Koshy to write hymns for each of the chapters. He's a gifted hymn writer. And sometimes poetry speaks to the heart more than just prose does. And so another way that a pastor, for example, can use those hymns is if he is preaching a series on the subjects from the book, How to Overcome Unforgiveness, as a sermon hymn, he can choose that hymn to introduce the sermon. If he's teaching a Bible class or leading a devotion, likewise can use it at the beginning or the end. And at the back of the book, we have an index of tunes from Lutheran service book that can be used with that particular hymn. Now, if they don't want to sing it, they can recite it as a prayer. It can be used in any number of different ways. But it's designed to be not only a guide for counseling others struggling with it, but also for teaching and to use in public settings as well.
The hymns are a really neat addition and do add a unique element to it. And hymnody is such a beautiful way to help express emotion and work through those things. So I think that it's really neat that you were able to include that in the book. Tell us a little bit about, both of you have backgrounds that set you up very well to speak on the topic of unforgiveness. Ted, you've worked for a long time as a reconciler. Tell us a little bit about what that means and where you've seen God at work.
So more than 30 years ago, I was introduced to Christian mediation in a lawsuit where I was a party. In my experience with that, after struggling with this other individual for a year in the courts and not getting anywhere, in two weekends, we not only resolved our financial issue, but we reconciled as brothers in Christ through confession and forgiveness. And that just turned my world upside down. And shortly after that, I left the business world to work full-time in reconciliation. What that means is that I help people through individual coaching, through mediation, through adjudication, and through group reconciliation work to help people come to that same place. Using scripture, encouraging them to take ownership for their own fault in the matter, and then to confess it. First of all, to God, to hear his forgiveness proclaimed to them, so that they would be empowered to meet with the other party, to confess their sin, to forgive as Christ has forgiven them. And so I've had the opportunity to do that on six different continents over 30 years of ministry. And the most difficult issue for me to help people with is this whole area of unforgiveness, especially for Christians, because I could see it was having a negative impact on their faith, their health, and all their relationships. And so it was that background and that experience that really drove me to say, we need to develop a resource, a practical resource, to help people who are caught in the loop of unforgiveness.
Mark, how has your teaching and research over the years helped in set you up for this book? It's something that you've worked on very intentionally. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I have I'm in the world of psychology a little bit, because that's what I did my PhD and my master's counseling degree in. And so I've served as a counselor. And in that world, in the psychological world, what's interesting is there are a lot of people who are going to their counselors and saying, hey, I have this issue, I have this conflict with someone, I want to forgive them, but I don't know how to do it. And so a lot of people are going to counselors now looking to figure out how to forgive someone in their life. Well, the counseling world, psychological world, hadn't done much with this. I mean, in the church, this is kind of our wheelhouse, right? But in the counseling world, it wasn't. So they started studying it. And so we have all these people who've written books and articles and done research on forgiveness. And what's interesting is they all agree it's a process. They don't agree on what the process is. But what's significantly missing from the process is, of course, Jesus Christ. They might talk about faith in a general way, you know, like your faith can encourage you or something like that. But it's not specific in the way that we talk about what forgiveness is. And so when I did my research, what I really was interested in is I wanted to understand how LCMS Lutheran people who had someone had sinned against them and they were able to forgive them. I wanted to understand what that process was for them, which would be different than the process from someone else who wasn't Christian, not Lutheran, and the like. And what I found with my research is that their theological depth that we bring through catechesis and teaching the church really helped to shape and form how they thought about forgiveness, but also how they practiced it and what they did. And that was significant. So what we hope to bring to the table is that forgiveness is a process. People are looking to be able to want to forgive. But what really brings that forgiveness to light is, of course, Jesus Christ. And without him, you still kind of end up without much hope and much joy. So taking some of the things I've learned in the psychological world and the challenges that are there, the things I know theologically, putting them together so you have the best of both worlds then to be able to help people who are struggling with unforgiveness.
It's fascinating to see the nuances of that and to see where it is. And I can imagine for those who don't hold to faith in Christ that it would be a very hollow forgiveness. And I could see how easy it would be to backslide into those negative feelings and not to fully feel that you have forgiven or been forgiven. So I appreciate the work that you've put into this book. As we wrap up, what encouragement would you leave our listeners with as they either wrestle with needing to forgive someone or needing to accept someone's offer of forgiveness?
Well, I would probably leave them with this, is that one of my favorite passages in scripture says, by his wounds, you have been healed. And when someone has sinned against us, we feel wounded, we feel broken, and that's not, it's not a pleasant place to be. But by the wounds of Jesus Christ, healing comes. And it comes because what he did there on the cross is he took upon the sins of the whole world, my sins, your sins, so that we have this forgiveness. And that same forgiveness that he gives to me, I then can share to others. So even though someone has wounded me, and it hurts, it does when, you know, when someone sins against me, but to have that joy, know that God has forgiven me because of the wounds of Jesus Christ, I then can forgive others as well, and then we can be reconciled with one another. So by the wounds of Jesus Christ, there is healing. Healing for me, you, and for others who sinned against me.
And I agree with what Mark said, that when we struggle to forgive someone, it's very appropriate to just cry out to God, God, help me. Because on our own, on our human strength, we cannot forgive as God has forgiven us. The only way we can do it is through God's help given to us in the forgiveness we have in Jesus Christ. And so go back to the very basics. How forgiven am I? What has God forgiven me for? And then just ask him for his help to forgive as he has forgiven us. Another passage is from Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is for me, and that is for those who have sinned against me and those I love. As Mark said, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. That includes mine, but it also includes those that have sinned against us. And when we realize that, we realize with Joseph from Genesis, I'm not in the place of God to withhold God's forgiveness. And so we have the privilege of forgiving. It doesn't mean the consequences, earthly consequences, go away. It doesn't mean that there won't be changes in the relationship. But it does mean that we don't have to live in a prison of bitterness for decades and the rest of our life.
Thank you both very much for sharing your thoughts with us and joining us today. For our listeners, visit the show notes. We'll have a link to where you can learn more about Mark and Ted's new book, Unforgivable. I encourage you to take a look at it and check it out because it's very practical. It's very well written. And I think it's going to be a wonderful resource for many, many people. So Mark, Ted, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Till next time, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Concordia Publishing House podcast. I pray that this time was valuable to your walk with Christ. We'd love to connect with listeners on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Concordia Pub. Visit cph.org for more resources to grow deeper in the gospel.